Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 17th of June, recording at 5:30 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, I'm recording much earlier than I usually do, and that's because, as I've been saying on the website, I have some long-standing commitments which are planned before I even knew that Owen was going to China. Now, because normally if I have to leave earlier, then he will do the audio and vice versa. Now, I also mentioned that I'll be doing the audio even earlier tomorrow, about midday. Now, plenty to talk about, however, but not so much in stock markets. They're a little bit quiet in here again today. Slightly mixed in Asia. China down, Japan a tiny bit. Japan down a tiny bit, also Australia, 0.7%. The European stock markets were mostly a little bit steadier, although Switzerland was an exception. And as I speak, Wall Street shows a small decline, down about 5 on the S&P. It has been a bit lower. The U.S. dollar is weaker here again today, and that's a trend that we've seen since the stock market, latest stock market rally started. Long-dated government bond prices, however, are firmer, particularly in the USA, where the long bond is up about a point and a third, point and a quarter. Now, also, but the big story here today, it looks like, is gold. And the dollar price of gold has been back up as high as 1251.25, and is currently 1249.70. That's up nearly $21. Silver is also quite steady as I speak, up 37 cents to 1881. Platinum and palladium are also up, but quieter. Copper is a little lower in here today. Actually, it's quite a bit lower, down nearly 9 cents to 292.50. And other industrial metals are also softer, as is crude oil, down to 76.30. That's down 137. And the agricultural commodities are slightly steadier, with the exception of sugar. Sugar had been firm recently in what looked like base building, but it's been knocked back here today. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we've seen a bit of a rally. It's been quite good in some of the Fuller Money themes, not least the smaller Asian stock markets. Else, and also Wall Street had moved to the top of its recent trading range. The key level, as I mentioned in every one of these audios, and I can't emphasize it enough, is that the S&P 500 index needs to stay above the 1,040 level. If it were to break that, I think sentiment would deteriorate, and people would immediately start looking for another leg to the downside in what has been a fairly significant correction for some, although not all, stock markets around the world. Now, conversely, if Wall Street can not only avoid a retest of that low, but range sideways to higher, and I would give that hypothesis the benefit of the doubt, despite all the uncertainties here and short-term concerns in the marketplace, and then I would expect a number of favored markets to lead the way to the upside. And I think among the leaders, we would see once again some of the South American resources markets, where Chile has shown, put in a barnstorming performance, and also the assembly, small manufacturing, and commodity-producing countries of Asia. Those tend to be Indonesia, the Philippines, Malaysia, Thailand. I would expect them to be at the forefront of another leg upwards in stock markets. And before any of that occurs, don't be surprised if we see some further ranging in here, given the overall uncertainties. Now, if we get a move to the upside, and if Wall Street just holds steady, I put it that way, so that the Wall Street leash effect is negative, is neutral. Let me say that again. If Wall Street just holds steady, so that its leash effect is neutral, then I would expect the markets that I just mentioned to show additional strength, and also India. That could run, because India, again, it's been ranging since October, but it has higher reaction lows within that pattern, and some of the leading counters in the Indian stock market that have the heavier weightings look capable of experiencing additional upside moves, if not in the short term, over the medium term. Now, the flip side of that is that the Sensex index needs to stay above the 16,000 level. If the Sensex index, which is closer to 18,000 now, the year's highs, it's a little below that. If the Sensex index were to fall down, close below the 16,000 level, it would be taking out the progression of higher reaction lows. Again, I think sentiment would deteriorate. I think that will happen if the S&P takes out its lows near the 1,040 level, because emerging markets, progressing markets such as India, are a high beta overall. Now, I'm talking mostly in a short to medium term context. India remains one of my very favorite, if not the favorite, stock market for the longer term. And I have quite an overweight position there. So I'm talking my book, but I've been saying this for the better part of a decade, and it has been performing. Well, I've been saying that since the first quarter of 2003, actually, so not quite a decade. Okay, what else to mention in here? Gold. Gold. Now, gold has seen, as you know, very powerful upward moves against the weaker currencies, not least the euro and sterling. Incidentally, both those currencies are a little steadier in here today because the dollar is softer. Those who trade the futures mainly traded gold in U.S. dollars, and that includes me. I've got a long position in the futures established not long ago. And I've been long gold for much of the last decade, on and off, trading primarily through the futures. But the action that we're now seeing, we're seeing the third test of this 1250 level, which has provided some psychological resistance over the last 6 weeks. So we're back up to that level, and the reaction lows have been rising. The last little reaction low, for instance, was at 12, near, just below, just above rather, just above $1,215. Now, gold hasn't been able to close above the 1250 level during the two previous tests. If it can do so in here today or tomorrow, I think sentiment would improve. I think investors, futures traders, would be emboldened to push gold higher. I'd give the upside the benefit of the doubt, provided we don't see that last downward dynamic or that last little reaction low at 1215 taken out. What else to mention in here? Overall, I think I would expect a little bit quieter activity than we had seen previously. We had a great deal of volatility, as you know, and usually that plays itself out. It's exhausting for one thing, emotionally, at any rate. But what we have seen is the VIX index come back down to it's just above the 25 level. That's a moderate range, although mind you, it had been as low as 15 back in April. But the decline in the VIX, provided it continues, is a plus factor in terms. It shows that investors are less worried about problems, but they don't have to look far for the problems, and I don't have to look any further than the Spanish bond market, which is a considerable concern. Overall, what we do know is that the Southern European sovereign debt crisis is far from over, and the probabilities of Greece defaulting in one form or another are virtually overwhelming. And there is some contagion effect within the region. But this is a known. So the market reacts a little bit less when we see those yields pushing up. But I wouldn't assume that that will always be the case. Sentiment is, well, it can easily change, and it doesn't take much to spook investors. So that's a negative. The declining VIX is a positive. The leadership that we're seeing in some of the fuller money theme markets is also a positive. Now, elsewhere, some of the shares that I've mentioned from time to time and traded from time to time within Europe, which not least Siemens in Germany, the big globally diversified infrastructure player. Now, companies like that tend to do quite well following the periodic sell-offs because the weaker euro makes their exports more competitive. It increases their consolidated earnings in euros. But overall, if we are to get a move to the upside by stock markets in the second half of the year, and I think that's at least a 50, at least a 60% possibility. But if we are to get that, and if many of you want to watch and wait, see what happens before committing additional funds, that's certainly perfectly understandable. But if we get that move to the upside, you will be wondering what market sectors and shares should you be participating in. And given the extent of the correction and the sideways ranging that has occurred, where we have not seen big corrections, India, for instance, the shares to look for in almost any market will be those that lead to the upside following a long pullback. Now, veteran subscribers will be familiar with this thinking, and I've often said, for instance, after a really big sell-off, you want to buy the shares that start outperforming their market indices near the lows, get the earlier evidence, produce the earlier evidence of base formation development, and lead on the upside. And human nature is such that many investors will say, "Well, I've missed that. It's already 10 or 20% or whatever off its low. I want to go for something that's just right down on its lows." Trouble is that the laggards usually lag for a reason, if only that investors are less interested in it at that time or have overlooked it. So I prefer to go with the relative performance leaders following a big sell-off and also following a lengthy ranging phase. So you can see those shares that are outperforming. You will be able to see them in the chart library. And of course, if we get further evidence that stock markets are going to be breaking to the upside, we will be pointing them out as well. I wouldn't be at all surprised if many of them come from markets where currencies have been weak. This is in the West, where currencies have been weak and where the companies in question are big multinational players leveraged to Asia's stronger growth. And on that note, I'll call it a wrap and say all the best to all of you.